welcome everybody, and to Honorable Zembula from the ATM, welcome. Public Protector, would like to take this opportunity to hand over to you to take us through the presentation, or to anyone that you have delegated to lead us.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members, for allowing us to present our annual performance. Today I'm with the Deputy Public Protector, Advocate Malunga, the CEO, Mr. Mahlangu, the CFO, Ms. Yalegile, and Lubabane, and then Lusibane, and we've got the Provincial Manager, Ms. Sune, or Advocate Sune, and the spokesperson, Mr. Sofale, and the Chief of Staff, Mr. Nyembe, and the Executive Secretary in my office, Ms. Ngobeni. So the presentation will constitute of our mandate, constitutional mandate, additional legislative mandates, Public Protector's remarks, past year at a glance, 2018-19 performance highlights, and 2018 financial report, Auditor General's finding and action plan, request for additional funding, and quota 1 of 2019-2020. The constitutional mandate of the Public Protector, we take it members aware of. It's provided for in Section 182 of the Constitution, read with Section 181, which is to support and strengthen constitutional democracy by investigating and redressing maladministration and improper conduct in state affairs. So the Public Protector has the power, as regulated by national legislation, to also investigate any conduct in state affairs or in the public administration in any sphere of government that is alleged or suspected to be improper or to result in any impropriety or prejudice, to report on that conduct and to take appropriate remedial action. The Public Protector has additional powers as prescribed by the national legislation. The Public Protector may not investigate court decisions. The Public Protector must be accessible to all persons and communities, and any report issued by the Public Protector must be open to the public unless exceptional circumstances to be determined in terms of national legislation require that a report be kept confidential. The Public Protector investigates and maladministration under the Public Protector Act, and the Public Protector is the sole agency supporting enforcement of the Executive Members Ethics Code in terms of the Executive Members Ethics Act. And other mandates of the Public Protector include anti-corruption as per the shared enforcement of the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, providing a safe haven for whistleblowers in terms of the Protected Disclosure Act, and review the decisions of the National Housing Regulatory Body under this legislation, the Housing Protection Measures Act, and resolve access to information disputes. The meeting comes only 3 days after the 24th year anniversary of the Public Protector as an institution. Honorable members would know that this institution opened its doors on the 15th of October 1995. We also meet 3 days after I've completed a full three years as Public Protector. Again, as honorable members would know, I was appointed the Public Protector with effect from the 15th of October for a non-renewable seven-year term, which expires on the 14th of October 2023. On such memorable dates, it becomes incumbent on us to look back. It has been an eventful 3 years with highs and lows, during which we have managed to stay on course to deliver on our vision of taking the services of this institution to the grassroots. That will be seen in our annual report. I will focus largely on the outer year of the three, which encompasses the period which is covered in the annual report. It pleases me to report to honorable members that our year-on-year institutional performance data for the period ending March 31, 2019 shows significant improvement. We have achieved 72% of our performance targets in 2018-19, up from 50% in the preceding year. This represents a 22% improvement. This is more significant when one takes into account the fact that during the period under review, we've increased our performance targets from 14 to 18. Among these targets, we finalized 30 formal investigation reports and finalized 10 systemic investigations. We often focus more on the numbers and less on the actual impact that we make in the lives of the people of South Africa. I would therefore like to list just a few examples of what difference we've made in the lives of people at the grassroots. Among others are cases we finalized that we've helped a 66-year-old former civil servant to receive more than 1 million in area pension benefits, which had been outstanding for over 5 years. For a full 5 years, that person did not have any source of income. Their livelihood has now been positively impacted as a result of our effort. In another case, within 2 weeks of being entrusted with the complaint, we managed to help bring to an end a Limpopo man's challenges or struggle to access a 250,000, which was kept by the Master of the High Court's Guardian Fund. Again, this is a person who would have had to contend with poverty for the 36 months while his money is sitting with officials in the Department of Justice and Correctional Services. All it took was 2 weeks of back and forth correspondence between my office and the officials of the department to unlock the funds. We also helped a distraught Western Cape mother to receive over 300,000 in arrears, which was owed for future child maintenance, giving effect to several court orders which directed that the defaulting father's pension benefits be attached for this purpose. Prior to our intervention, the orders had seemingly been ignored. These examples are just a few among the thousands of matters which we've resolved through alternative dispute resolution mechanisms as opposed to formal investigations, which results in formal reports which we issue as an institution. An example of a formal report investigation that resulted in a report: we've helped 45 small business people in Gauteng who had been owed a collective of 12 million by the Provincial Human Settlements Department for the work they did for a low-cost housing project in Alexandra 20 years ago. The department is complying with our remedial action. Another example is overachievement in relation to our community outreach program, which is critical since it gives effect to Section 182(4) of the Constitution, which enjoins the Public Protector to be accessible to all persons and communities. We exceeded our outreach clinics target by 69, holding 277, when we had planned to conduct only 208. In addition, we conducted 23 more radio slots than the planned 36, bringing the total to 59. This means more people got to learn about the services of the Public Protector. And in these community radio stations, we use the local languages so that people can access and understand the role of the Public Protector, which is one of the pillars which we have as an institution in the Vision 2023. These successes are an add-on to the office's successful run over the last 3 years, during which period I dealt with nearly 50,000 matters, finalizing around 70% of those. This excludes the current financial year. In addition, since October 2016 till 31 March 2019, we've produced 91 formal investigation reports. Lastly, I wish to draw Parliament's attention to the fact that some of the organs of state will still look the other way when my office points them to administrative lapses. This is in spite of the instructive Constitutional Court decision, which clarified once and for all that my remedial action is binding unless set aside by a court of law. This leaves a lot of complainants in whose favor we have made findings and that remedial actions be taken in limbo. Moreover, owing to insufficient resources, my office cannot afford to have the remedial action we've taken enforced through the courts. As far as the affected parties are concerned, this renders this office somewhat toothless. It was for this reason that at the end of the period under review, I published a list of the 40 organs of state which have either ignored my report in their entirety or implemented only part of the remedial action. The idea was to appeal to the conscience of those involved with the hope that they will see the plight of those affected members of the public. Unfortunately, in some cases, this only served to harden the attitudes and invited more litigation. Further, in contravention of Section 181, 3 and 4 of the Constitution, my office has been at the receiving end of one blistering attacks from members of the executive, because then when we have issued reports, some would not appreciate the way we have reported on them, but this has been raised with the speaker on those behaviors. Another notable achievement relates to our continued impact in the entire African continent, where issues of good governance, human rights, and the rule of law are concerned. Our effort in this regard was acknowledged when my counterparts and peers from Eswatini in the continent elected me as the president of the African Ombudsman and Mediators Association, which is an umbrella of public protector-type institution in the continent. As president, I want to focus on encouraging other IOMA members to implement their respective mandates with a view of turning the Continental Development Plan Agenda 2063, the Africa we want, into reality. In particular, I want my counterparts to concentrate their energies on the third and fourth aspirations of the plan, which deals with good governance, democracy, respect of human rights, justice and the rule of law, and peace and security, respectively. This includes continental efforts to silence the guns by 2020. It would mean a lot for me if Parliament were to support our work in this particular regard. Lastly, we continue to grapple with the issue of funding. Once again, I look to the National Assembly to help us to obtain a bigger slice of the budget. That would go a long way in helping us to satisfactorily live up to our constitutional mandate. I'll hand over to the CEO, Chairperson, to present, and to the CFO, and then I will end with the DPP. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thanks, Public Protector. Good morning, members. Mine is to provide the performance for the year 2018-2019. Here we're showing the past year at glance, where we're saying that we're 346 total funded posts, and the breakdown there is to say that we had 159 investigators, which is core business, against 187, which is the support staff that support all the investigations in the organization. This is a nationwide employees of the organization. We had received 8,717 new cases, of which we did 277 outreach clinics and 4,006 cases carried over that period of carried over to the next year, which is 2019-20, which is the current financial year. 14,147 cases handled at the end of 31 March 2019. Of which our budget allocated was 311,362,000. The finalized cases in the year at grants, it's 9,912, of which carried over again, it's 4,390. The non-jurisdiction is 876, and 1,100 cases referred to other institutions. Next slide. The percentage of complaints upheld or not upheld, basically the slide is a pie that is showing how the work was distributed. The legend there is very clear. If you look at the upheld, it's 47%, and not upheld, it's about 36%, and closed without investigation, 17%. Complaint receipts per gender, it looks like our male counterparts are the main complainants at 66%, and then the female makes the 30%. And then now I'm going to talk to the targets, the strategic outcome-oriented goals. We basically, members, have four strategic outcomes, which is basically the prompt service delivered to all persons in institutions that we are serving. Basically, we set the target to say all the cases should be finalized within certain standards, and therefore we advocate to be accessible to the public service, meaning that we ensure that with the Vision 2023, we are accessible to all the people, which is grassroots. Then we have got a strategic outcome, which is an efficient and effective and efficient people-driven organization, where we're saying that we provide tools of trade so that the administrative can support the investigation promptly. The last one is the oversight, which the public protector has spoken about, where we are involved with the African Ombudsman Mediators Association. But then going to performance, you will see this slide is talking to 2016-17, 2017-18 to the year at glance. We have an organization that was performing almost below par at 53%. The past year went to 50%. We are happy to announce that we have improved that performance to 72%, as I will break down how the performance went by. Now, the breakdown of the four strategic objectives that are spoken about is basically in terms of the targets, where the target to finalize 30 formal reports by year as at 31 March 2019, and we've exceeded that by 46 formal reports that we finalized. Underneath that, we had to finalize 10 systematic investigations identified in the previous financial years. Unfortunately, we could only manage to do 6 of them out of 10. We had to finalize 100% of cases within the following turnaround time. If it's the early resolution, we basically say in an organization it must take 6 months with an investigator. But if it's a service delivery matter, we look at up until 12 months to engage whoever is affected to be finalized. And if it's a governance issue, it can take up to 24 months. In all the categories, we tried our best and we could only do 99% of that. So basically the target was supposed to be 100% achieved, but we could only do 99%. So we also had a target to say we'll finalize 100% of all 2 years and older cases by the 31 March 2019. Again, we could only manage 77% of that. The next target talks to 100% follow-up on remedial action matters that was successfully achieved. We did all the 67 remedial actions matters. And then the last one, the next one was 10 dialogues held with organs of state on systematic challenges by 31st March 2019. Of that, it was exceeded 13 dialogues were held with all the organs of the state. We set a target to conduct 208 outreach clinics across the country, and we also exceeded that target by achieving 277 outreach clinics were conducted across the country. And then we had to enter into an MOU with the Department of Justice and 9 provincial speakers. There, unfortunately, we couldn't enter with all the targeted institutions for reasons that are identified in the strategic plan. And then we had to conduct 9 public protector roadshows. We successfully did that. We had conducted all the 9 public protector roadshows as part of the Vision 2023. Then the other target was to conduct 4 radio slots per province, per annum. We exceeded that. There's a breakdown of the provinces in which radio slots that they've conducted in numbers. And then we had to conduct 5 national events by 31 March 2019. Also, we have exceeded that. 7 national events were conducted. Performance highlights continuing, 100% implementation of the hard drive implementation. Those are the things that I was talking about, the support systems that we provide to the investigators. We achieved that. We did it 100%. We had to acquire vehicles so that our officials can be able to go to areas where they are needed. We managed to acquire 3 pool vehicles and on a lease basis. were to engage Public Works to avail state-owned buildings, we believe that we are better suited if we are occupying the state-owned buildings. We have the list. We are looking at moving all the offices that are in privately owned buildings to the state-owned buildings. Develop and implement the approved clean audit strategy. We tried our best. Out of all the issues, the emphasis that we had, we have reduced them. A number of findings were reduced at only by 11%, so we have done very well there. Then the next target is to enter into one bilateral agreement with an ombudsman institution. That was also achieved. We did that with the tax ombudsman. The public protector to chair 100% schedule IOC board meetings by the year end. The public protector did that. Then the public protector to attend 100% of the scheduled meeting of the EXO of IOMA. That was also achieved. The personnel information is just a background to your good self members to see that how the structure of the organization is. I don't know if I should go to line by line, but in total the expenditure was 288 million, which is 100% of the cost, and the number of employees, I spoke about that at times, which was 346. I'll over to the CFO to do the financial information.
Thank you, CEO. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. In terms of our financial performance, in the 17-18 financial year, we had reported a deficit of 22.8 million. Those are restated figures. And the reason of the deficit is attributable to insufficient funding of our institution to fulfill our mandate. However, the demand as well in our services over the past years has increased due to our publicity and accessibility, yet the budget allocation has been reduced in line with the country's economic situations. And at the year 18-19, at the end, we reported an accumulated deficit of 3.5 million after we had reported a surplus for that year specifically. Just to give a highlight on the two previous financial years, at the end of March 2018, we had received an unqualified audit opinion with material statements. Going concern uncertainties were an issue. Irregular expenditure that had been incurred, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We also got a qualified opinion on our APO. But at the end of March 2019, we are sitting with an unqualified audit opinion with material misstatements, with all other issues have been dealt with as a result of the action plans we had put in place after the audit of the 17-18 financial year. In terms of our financial viability, we have improved by about 85%. As you can see, we are coming from a deficit for 2018 alone of 19 million and a surplus in 2019 of 19.2 million. Our cash in the bank at the end of 2018 was sitting at 14 million and at 2019 we were sitting at 37 million. In terms of budget versus expenditure or revenue versus expenditure, our total revenue or budget originally was sitting at 311.3 million. However, the revised set at 341.7 million. That included an additional funding of 16 million which we received from the Department of Justice, but also services in kind that we received from the Department of Public Works for the building that we occupy as head office of about 9 million, as well as interest that we are receiving in terms of our bank account. The actual expenditure is sitting at 322 million, and then our revenue collection has been exceeded, including the surplus that I spoke of, which is 19.2 million. In terms of the Auditor General's report, these are the matters that they have put in terms of our report. Our expenditure management, some of our payments were not made within 30 days. In line with the Treasury Regulation 8.2.3. However, there has been an improvement in the year under review, which is 18-19. Only 28% of those suppliers were not paid within 30 days, meaning 72% of our suppliers were paid within 30 days. Moreover, our average turnaround time in paying our suppliers has improved in comparison to 17-18. We're sitting at an average of 20 days because the greater part of the year, which is about 7 months of the financial year, we had controls in place to ensure that payments to suppliers are made within 30 days, although we did not reach the 100%. In terms of material adjustments to the AFS, We had those as a result of key positions within finance that were vacant during the year, one being the senior manager, which was vacant from August until February 2019. The manager financial accounting was vacant from April 2018. We only filled it in January 2019. And with their positions being filled, we have been able to see significant improvement in terms of our performance. This slide indicates the additional funding which we had presented to National Treasury as part of the MTF process. We presented these figures at the National Treasury in July. We need about 49.7 million over the next 3 years in terms of filling critical positions. We need 41.7 million for professional fees. We also need 19.4 million for security. In total, we need an amount of 110.8 million over the next 3 years. The funding of critical positions relates to 33 positions that became vacant due to resignations, but due to budget constraints, we could not be able to fill those positions. In terms of professional fees, as I indicated earlier, there's a significant demand of our services, and therefore some of the cases require subject matter experts for those investigations, and we do not have the specialized skills internally, and those would have to be from time to time outsourced. Next slide, please. In terms of security services, that includes security in terms of physical guards, but also in terms of systems, in terms of ensuring that our assets, our documents are safely stored. That is the amount that we need over a period of 3 years, 19.4. We have implemented cost efficiency measures to ensure that we remain within our budget. We've had various cost containment measures that we have put in place. As a result, we were able to reduce our travel expenditure from 9.5 million in 2016-17 financial year to 3.5 million in the period under review. And in the period moving forward in the 2020 MTF, we are anticipating that we will spend 4.1 million in 2021, 4.3 million in the year after, and 4.5 million a year after that. And that is basically the CPI adjustment if you look at where we're coming from in 2018-19. Other cost reduction initiatives that we have implemented, they include cancellation of leased vehicles, because we had quite a number of vehicles that we were leasing at about 6.7 million, and we could not be able to afford that. We had to terminate the contract when it came to an end. As well, we had to terminate a lease of a building that had been acquired and have to house the head office in one building. As a result of that, that contract was costing us 4.5 million per annum. And as a result of those two contracts that have been cancelled, we are able to save the state about 33.6 million over the next 3 years. We also are not defending all matters that are being taken on review to ensure that we reduce in terms of our costs. As a result, in 17-18, we had spent 20 million on legal fees. However, in 18-19, we spent only 14 million. In this slide, we are showing money that is receivable by the state, which is revenue that departments can be able to collect as a result of the work that has been done by the office over the past 3 years. There is a 248 million that could be recovered by the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs on the report that was issued in 17-18. Another 3.5 million that could be recovered by the Northwest Daung College of Agriculture, for a report that we issued in 16-17, and 2.9 million that could be recovered by Pick It Up, 4.5 million on a report that was issued in the current financial year by the office of the Mpumalanga Premier. So those are the funds that the state can be able to recover as a result of the work that is done by the office. I will now move to our first quarter of 19-20 in terms of our performance. We have so far achieved 79% of our targets, 21% were not achieved. However, we are confident that we will be able to achieve or catch up in terms of those that we were not able to achieve. Under administration, We had a target in quarter one to consult with management and labor on the proposed revised organizational structure. The consultation with labor did not take place, although it took place with management. Didn't take place in the first quarter, however, in the second quarter it did take place. Review of the clean audit strategy, as it is a living document. Each time we pick up risks, we review that document. We're able to review it in June. We also had a target to identify one suitable state-owned office accommodation. We were able to identify two, one in Toyando and one in Mthatha in the Eastern Cape. In terms of core business, the investigations, we had a target to finalize 2,000 cases. We managed to finalize 2,500. That is an exceeded target. It's because of improved efficiency within the branch. We also had a target to finalize and publish 16 investigation reports. A total of 27 investigation reports were finalized. We had a backlog project that we're working on, and that's why we're able to exceed the target. In terms of finalizing 100% cases within turnaround times, we have a 6 months turnaround time for early resolutions. We've got a 12 months turnaround time for SDs. For GGI, we've got 24 months. We're able to reach 100% on all those different cases. We also had a target to finalize 25% of 2 years and older cases by the end of the quarter. Only 21% of the 2 years and older were finalized. There were complexity in terms of the cases that were not finalized. However, we believe that management could have done better, and we are confident that we'll be able to catch up in the remaining quarters. We had one target as well to identify systematic investigations or intervention. We did achieve that. There was a systematic investigation that was identified for investigation. We also had two dialogues that were held, which is also an achieved target. In terms of stakeholder management, we had to conduct 52 outreach clinics in terms of our accessibility across the country in different districts. We only did 50 out of the 52. Two could not be achieved. We believe that we will be able to catch up in terms of that. Management could have prevented those. Another target is to conduct one roadshow, including the following national event, which is the Youth Day. We were able to conduct that roadshow in the Limpopo province in June. We had also a target to conduct 3 radio slots by the end of the quarter. We exceeded the target by conducting 7 radio slots. The next target is identify an ombudsman institution to enter into a bilateral. We did achieve that. We identify one institution to enter into a bilateral agreement with. Then the next target, public protector to chair any scheduled IOC board meeting. That target is not reportable or it's not applicable because there was no planned or scheduled meeting during the quarter under review. Public protector to attend any scheduled IOMA meeting as the president. She was able to attend an EXCO that was held in May 2019. That is the end of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, allow me to afford the DPP an opportunity to address the honourable members, since it's his last meeting with the public protector as the outgoing deputy public protector. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable chair. Thank you, public protector, and good morning, honourable members. For me, this is just farewell, so just to say, look, thank you for this opportunity to serve from the Parliament of the Republic. I've been here since December 2012. It's been, you know, I am leaving an institution much stronger than the one that I found, and much more well known by the public in terms of its mandate. Certainly, but what I feel Parliament is not doing enough, so let me exercise oversight over Parliament for a change, is that the executive is not being held to account sufficiently for the infringements that are constantly being reported to us as the public protector. We are constantly getting reports about various infringements of the executive, and of course, so there's a trust deficit between citizens and the state. We've been going all over the place. One thing I want to endorse and say the public protector has done very well is this Vision 2023, taking the public protector to the grassroots. We see a lot of ordinary people who increasingly show a lot of distrust for the state in terms of what. So I'm saying that not just for this portfolio committee, but I think across the board, because our complaints to us come across the departments. You know, we receive complaints about RGPs, about pensions, about, you know, all sorts of things. And I did allude to the chair earlier on when we were discussing informally that there's a greater footprint needed in some provinces which are not sufficiently spread out. The Constitution says the public protector must be accessible to all persons and communities. So you find that, for example, a province like KwaZulu-Natal, which is probably the most populous province in the country, all along has had one office in Durban. And then now it's got two, another one in Pietermaritzburg. So you have someone taking a taxi from Ulundi, 400 and something kilometers, to take a taxi to lodge a complaint in Durban. And likewise, people from the other side, on the southern side of the same is true, chair of Limpopo, which we've had an office in Bulawayo and Musina, and almost nothing in between. So you have those kind of challenges. Mpumalanga has some of those dynamics, and Eastern Cape and so forth. And I think that is a challenge. So, but in terms of the past 7 years, the mandate has become clearer. And I'll obviously critique the media, because the who are here today, they also have been part of the problem, in the sense that they don't have much interest in the bread and butter matters that we resolve. And of course, we spend a lot of time doing a lot of high. They spend more time on the high-profile issues and less on the yes. So I think we and then of course in terms of my successor, I'll advise that you address the terms and conditions of my successor in terms of even the delegations. That you appoint and follow up regularly on what the delegations are, what do they entail, and so forth, to avoid any challenges, and of course, even the terms and conditions of service, because that was not done, and that has created problems. I did make a request for the gratuity that is being processed. I'm told it's now to and fro between the committee and the Commission on Independent Public Office Bearers. And then, of course, I think some of the other challenges that are coming up from the complaints that are coming to the system, especially the public procurement system, has a lot of complaints, and it's probably responsible for a lot of challenges that South Africa faces right now, including load shedding and potholes and everything, because you're giving contracts to people who don't know what they're doing or who just eat the money. That's the reality. That's what we're getting. And of course, trends in appointments as well, people who are appointed who are not necessarily fit for task, and indicated public procurement is conflict of interest also is a constant feature of the complaints that are coming to us, where people can't separate their public responsibilities from their private interests. Protection of whistleblowers, I know SWAT knows that this is a long passion of ours. In spite of the amendments, we're still seeing a lot of whistleblowers coming to us saying they're not safe or they're not being protected enough. But otherwise, I think for me, it's been a good run. As I conclude, the access to justice issues remain firmly in place, and I think there's got to be more synergy between what the public protector does, the NPA, Department of Justice, SIU, and all the other people who are under your oversight. Because sometimes we're seeing that there's really an absence of consequences for people who are found wanting. You know, we write all these lovely reports, but nothing happens. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. Let me start before I give chance to honorable members to welcome other members that have joined us. I see Honorable Secretary General of the EFF, Honorable Dennis Breitenbach, and our former chairperson, Dr. Matole Motsekga, has decided to visit us today. Thank you very much. Generally, as part of our process in dealing with the appointment of the Deputy Public Protector, one of the issues that we thought we would do is to do an exit report, which we have started. I think your closing remarks are part of that. But we think that we will do an exit report, a proper exit report for the incumbent, so that we would know which areas to improve. We are still going to schedule that. Honorable members, let me take questions and inputs from honorable members. Honorable Advocate Mahomet, Honorable Jale, Honorable Mukuteng, Honorable Horn, Honorable Swart, Honorable Nibot Lechans, Honorable Mulaute, Honorable Zangula, and Honorable Kola. Oh, Honorable. Sir, I did not see you. You have decided to be far away. Honorable Dennis Breitenbach. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Advocate, Public Protector and Deputy Public Protector for the very informative annual report. Just a few clarities. Of course, Deputy Public Protector, Advocate Malunga, we are looking forward to that exit interview that the Chairperson was referring to. And I will allude at the end of my question just now. But let me start off, Chair, saying that congratulations to the Public Protector and the Office of the Public Protector for a no audit qualification that has been achieved for this financial year we're reporting on. Well done to the team. There are, of course, a few recommendations or stipulations made by the Auditor General, as alluded to earlier. And one of those, just for clarity or completeness, is to know how far you with the automation of case management system to improve your accuracy and completeness of your performance reports that I think you reported last year you were working on. You didn't get a better understanding in the annual report as to where you are with this, as alluded also by the AG. And then, of course, you referred to the 30-day not all creditors were paid within 30 days, you referred to. What were the... that was a situation that arose the previous financial year also, so you knew about it. We note in the report that the second half of the financial year you put in some good processes, but what one is interested in is how many transactions are we referring to. If it's not many, then one could understand your interjection, but we want to know. We hear you about the operations and noble interventions with maintenance, private maintenance of minor children that has been recovered by ensuring that the relevant department, in this case the Department of Justice, do its work. We also, however, know you refer to a matter in the Western Cape of a recovery of maintenance from defaulters. We know that there is a project here running called Operation Isondlo by the department. It is exactly geared towards ensuring that defaulters are taken to task, that monies owed to beneficiaries are recovered from pension funds. Is there any relationship in terms of operation between you and the department in this regard? Also, Chair, we note that in your report, but regard to stakeholder management programs, you indicate that the achievement of outreach clinics and national events have contributed enormously to the public protector of South Africa's mandate being known to the people out there, as just alluded by yourself. Yet I see in the same report that there are fewer cases reported to your office. About the report shows 3,226. How would you explain this despite the outreach? Is there specific reasons here for this in particular, this particular discrepancy that one notices? Also, with regard to your July engagement with ourselves to this committee, you mentioned that you're engaging with the Treasury to ask for additional funding for your operation as well as your legal fees that has increased phenomenally. Maybe that is in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework. Maybe you want to give us some updates. Have you been successful in this regard? I'm referring to this particularly because there's one area one is concerned is legal fees. It's quite high. And we know all the cases that you had to defend or take up. In most cases, one understands the reason for that. But what we don't know is there a negotiated fee cap for counsel, especially when you brief more than one set of counsel in more or less the same type of matters. Whether that's what necessary is another story. I'm more interested in, do you negotiate fee? Are there caps or do you leave it to counsel to bill you? Do you have a set of what we call a list of counsel that you pre-negotiate in terms of fee, or have you not moved to that effect? And then lastly, Chair, the Deputy Public Protector already alluded to in his input. We're looking forward, of course, as I said, in the engagement. He referred to Parliament needing to look at the delegations of the Deputy Public Protector. We will definitely engage on that one, as well as the quality assurance mechanisms that he feels should be reintroduced in some of his inputs publicly. And we will engage on that too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Advocate Mohammed. Honorable Jale.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to Public Protector and the team. And Chairperson, before I go to the questions that maybe I might have, I'm having to the team and the Public Protector, let me just join at, my colleague here in congratulating.
Can you bring your mic closer to you?
Congratulating the Office of the Protector for the report of the audit. Though there are some recommendations that you have to look into, that is the matter that you have to really follow up, because he is also raising the issue of 30 days that my colleague has just mentioned. Because, Chairperson, I think my concern on this one is that most of those companies that are supposed to pay it to be paid in 30 days are these companies that we want them to grow and have a contribution in our economy. So it is important that the office must make sure that they look into that one and correct that, Chairperson. But again, Chairperson, I would want to congratulate the Public Protector for being elected as the president of the African Ombud. This information helps us a lot, especially with us women. You know, it's a matter that has to be congratulated because women are really getting into these positions, and we know that. I'm going to say something that maybe some people won't like it. that, you know, as women, as we work hard, not that men do not work hard, but women in position, there is a lot that we contribute, Chairperson. Yes. On this matter, Chairperson, I would like also to thank the contributions of the DPP in the department for these years that you have been there, supporting the team, working with the two public protectors. And thank you very much. Your experience and all the efforts that you have put, they are really commendable. But coming to the question, Chairperson, that I'm having in terms of the presentation, but I did not also note the good work that I've seen in this report. That one also, Chairperson, is noted. We want to really thank the office for the progress that you have done in terms of making sure that you change the situation within the department. I think the progress that we are seeing now, it will give you confidence in going forward and do more. Chairperson, my question here is that it's on the vacancies that are filled by the Office of the Protector. I just want to find out how many women, in terms of gender, how many women in those positions, senior positions that they have in the department. I saw here on the report, but if I can get more, exactly how many women in that department in terms of the categories that you have and the positions also that they held, Chairperson. And then also on the matter of the department not being willing to come to board in terms of assisting the public protector in her work, I think also that one, Chairperson, something must be done. We must assist and make sure that everybody come to board and assist to make sure that this office is successful in doing their work. There's also, Chairperson, a report here on this presentation that the Public Protector's Office added more targets, you know. You've done well on so many targets that you have. But I wanted to find out that is it because you also have previous work that you still have to do to you know work on in terms of the cases that you carry, you know, from the past and then also the present one. So adding also the targets, is it not that putting pressure maybe on what you have? I would like maybe to give us more information on that. Lastly, Chairperson, on the issue of the investigators in the Office of the Public Protector, I saw that even if you have a number of them that you have employed, I don't know what, I didn't note that page, but there's a page where you're talking about the investigators and you have less of them. What is the impact that is of having less investigators in your office? Is it not maybe impacting on the number that you have and give a load and, you know, heavy load on in terms of those that you have? And then lastly, Chairperson, just to comment on this one, is the issue of cancellation of those leaves. That, I think it was a good also a move in terms of making sure that you save, because you can see that the finances, our finances are not good, and the economy is not good, and we really commend your attitude in making sure that you bring down in terms of that. in making sure that you contribute in assisting us with the finances. Thank you. Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mufuke.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Maybe on starting on what the member, Maseko Jele, left about the targets, adding on targets but dropping on others. I have a concern on the target where you had a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Justice, and I think it's also with the nine provincial speakers, but you are saying that you'll be actually removing them. I want to know what is the reason for that, noting what has been said by the Deputy Public Protector about the executive. Then you drop something that helps you to do the work. And the next one will be, why are you saying that your memorandum of understanding with SIU, Special Investigating Unit, and also SAGA, is successful? What makes it successful when others are not? And on the report, the list of many reports that are good reports and good things that you've done, but now I want to find out that there's nowhere where it shows that after the decision has been taken. I'll give an example of the Alexander Far East on the issue of housing or human settlement. You are showing that at the end there will be people that will be charged and all that, but I don't see anywhere where you say that so far that happened. The next one will be also on the city of Tshwane, where the case at the end, it says the same recommendations, but there's no way where you show us that this happened and this is the situation now. And it goes also on the importance of the stakeholder management, which is a very important part because the public participation is a constitutional mandate. One appreciates that you have done that. You have done radio stations, but at the same time, having done that, you have few cases that have been reported. The general trend, which shows fewer new cases are being taken to the public protector, there were 8,707 new cases in 2018-2019, which is 3,226 fewer new cases, but you still have road shows. And I want to know that on those road shows, and as you go with radio stations, which radio stations are you doing? Are you going to? Are there radio stations that our people will be able to access in all languages? And also going into that stakeholder management, are you meeting people with disability? Because most of the time, we also remember that those people are very important. The sign language, they are able to bring their issues? And in your office, do you have somebody who deals with issues of people with disability so that they are also taken on board because they are also South Africans? All human beings. Now, on the last part, it will be on the clinics. You visited a number of clinics, and I think it's one of the highlights here. But having gone to the clinics, were you able to take those matters to different provinces, and what were the outcomes? And why do we still have a problem of clinics or health institutions reported as having problems if you have visited so many of them? And on the issue of stakeholder management on the end of it, as you go to all the stakeholder management, for those that you have done in 3 years, or maybe let me say in 2 years, were you able to go back and give a feedback the same way when you went out to do the stakeholder? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, in addition to what has been said in respect of the financial performance, I want to take up one of the other matters of concern raised by the Auditor General and the Public Protector's response today.
I'm advised, Honourable Members, that you are given the listening devices. Don't put them next to the your microphones. They do affect the system. So please, sorry, Honorable Horn. So
Thank you, Chair. So one of the issues the Auditor General raised, and it is a repeat finding, is that there was material misstatements in the financial statements of the public protector. And in the presentation here today, we are now informed that this is to be ascribed to the fact that there was no senior manager finance or manager financial accounting. But, Chair, I don't think we can accept that explanation. The Auditor General's findings turn on the fact that there was a failure to properly review the financial statements after they were drawn up. And the duty to review financial statements after they've drawn up rests with senior management. So the accounting officer, which is the CFO, which was in place, as well as the executive authority, which is the public protector herself, has that duty to review the financial statements. So I don't think we can accept that explanation, and I think as part of the audit action plan going forward, I think we must ask for a proper plan as to how a repeat of material misstatements will be prevented. Then, Chair, in respect of some other performance issues, the backlog cases, and in terms of this report today, only one in four of those, which is older than 2 years, were finalized, and that's against a target of 100%, and I think it must be of a concern to us. Today it's being said that it's due to the complexity of cases. But what worries one is also that it is, I think we must firstly ask for a detailed list of all cases that are deemed to be backlog cases. Because, for example, from the province where I come from, the Free State, there is the matter of the Free State government website, which was first sent to the public protector in 2013 already. Earlier this year, we were informed by the current public protector that the report on that matter is imminent. I think words of by the end of the month in August or July were used, but as we sit here, it's still not been released. And with the greatest of respect, I can't see how the matter can be that complex. The complaint is very simple in that somebody was paid literally millions of rands to develop a website that is a WordPress website, which any of us this afternoon can go and set up. So I would like a specific answer as to where that Free State Government website report is now, but also, I think, Chair, we must ask for a list of all the so-called backlog cases so that this committee can for itself see what type of cases are not finalized. Then, Chair, in respect of the comments, and the Honourable Mohammed has already referred to it by the Deputy Public Protector, that there must be a reinstatement of quality control mechanisms, which is obviously insightful in the sense that if he says there must be a reinstatement, it would mean that previously, in his view, there were better quality control mechanisms or quality control mechanisms, and either they're now absent or the ones that are there is not as good. So I would like to hear from him specifically what he meant in more detail regarding that issue. Then he also today made the statement that Parliament fails to properly hold to account the executive. And while I'm not disagreeing with him, I would also want to make the following comment and hear from the public protector as to whether they have pursued that avenue. The way I understand the legislative framework, if there is members of the executive or government departments who fail to adhere to remedial action, one of the avenues available to the public protector's office is to report that to the National Assembly. And obviously that would mean a report to the speaker who would then refer it to a relevant portfolio committee. So I think we must ask, in how many instances over the last months have they pursued that avenue? Because it's all well and fine to say Parliament is failing and we don't want to fail, but we also can't go and source those. We're not the policing authority on behalf of the public protector. Then, Chairperson, in respect of the another Free State matter, the Istina matter, in August of last year, where we informed by the public protector that she would embark on a investigation of the political involvement in the whole saga after criticism was levelled against her that she only focused on the administration. So I would like an update as to where that report is, specifically also in light of the testimony of the former Director General and later MEC for Finance at the Zondo Commission this week, where she more or less told the Commission that yes, absolutely, that whole project, as a matter of fact, had to go to a tender and bid process, and it was improper for the executive committee of the Free State to sign it off. Then, in terms of the donor funding, the public protector has been firm in the past that she's not to accept donor funding. So I would like to hear whether she has been in contact with the people who embarked on a social media crowdfunding campaign to assist her to pay the personal costs she's responsible for, and how she deems, whether she deems it proper to accept crowdfunding and whether it's not just another form of donor funding. So if we could get an update as to that situation. And then lastly, Chair, maybe as a more general remark, and I don't think there's need to today rehash all of the adverse findings and comments made by our courts against the Public Protector's Office and the Public Protector herself, but the comment also made that there's a focus in the public eye on the high-profile matters versus a failure to give credit in respect of the bread and butter matters. I firstly want to say that, yes, it is of a concern that there's fewer and fewer cases that goes to the door of the public protector. And it's, I mean, it's now, it's not a trickle now, it's more than 20% less cases enrolled than in a previous financial year, and as a matter of fact, it has been a trend now for a few years. But I would like a comment from the public protector as to whether she has now properly analyzed the fact that also for an institution like herself, despite the fact that the Constitution says you act without fear, favor, or prejudice, ultimately a lot turns on the public confidence and credibility in the public eye. And I would like to hear what lessons have been learned in respect of the way high-profile matters has been raised and whether the office has considered that the erosion, possible erosion of public confidence and trust in the office has also contributed to the fact that less and less Gorgot Dlamini's, if I may use the term of the predecessor, knocks on the door of the public protector for assistance. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you to the public protector as well, and for your team, for the report, and for certain of the positives that have been raised by my colleagues, such as the significant improvement in the audit performance, although it's not yet a clean audit. Is going in the right direction. We're pleased that the deficit has been reduced significantly from 23 million to 3.5 million, and that a number of the positions have been filled, and that will allay our concerns previously expressed about the Public Protector's Office being factually insolvent. When one considers a few other aspects, Deputy Public Protector, thank you for your service. from our side, I've worked closely with you over many years, and I really appreciate your contribution. We engaged very thoroughly on the Protected Disclosures Act, and I really appreciate that, and I want to commend you for your service, and I look forward to the exit report, and possibly you could give us a written submission on lessons learned, what we can take forward for the next Deputy Public Protector as we embark on that process. I think it's very important, that aspect. I think the issue you raised, as my colleague indicated, about the lack of accountability or oversight from Parliament of the Executive is correct, and in fact the Constitutional Court made that finding that we breached our constitutional duty by not holding the President, then President Zuma, accountable. So yes, there's a lot of improvement that needs to take place in that regard. That then brings me, Public Protector, to the caseload that a number of my colleagues have referred to. And it is a concern to me, the reduction in the number of cases. If one considers what has been highlighted and what has been highlighted in the media, what we're fully aware of is the increase in service delivery protests, the increase in municipalities that have been found deficient in their auditing, the public procurement issues that have been raised. We know the issues around ESCOM, but public procurement across all sectors. That then would suggest that there should be far more cases than are presently being reported to the Public Protector's Office, and I'd like to for the Public Protector to give an indication as to what she thinks is the reason for that. The caseload in 2012-13, cases finalized, was 22,400, with 25,000 new cases. For this year, new cases was 8,700. That's almost a third, and with cases finalized, 9,929. Finalized as opposed to handled, which is your 14,000, which is significantly less, given the fact as well at that stage the budget was 183 million in 2012 with a staff of 284. Now you've got 326 million with a staff of 346, and you have indicated that you need additional funding. But given that caseload, there is something that is not, doesn't make sense to me. Now, either it is a growing lack of faith in the institution of the Public Protector, or it is less need of the Public Protector services. I can't see that departments themselves are resolving these issues, because we're getting increased reports from the SIU, from the SA Human Rights Commission, but there is a substantial decrease in the number of cases that the Public Protector is dealing with, and so I'd like your comments in that regard. The other issue, which is a perennial issue that most of the Chapter 9 institutions report to us, and that is lack of compliance with your binding actions by the executive. And Chair, we again need to assist in this regard with the office of Chapter 9 institutions in the Speaker's office, but it is unacceptable that in the case of the Public Protector, the executive is not complying with these binding orders. That having been said, regrettably, the Public Protector's Office itself is also guilty of that when one considers the Human Rights Commission's report on compliance with the protected, the PIA legislation, where they report that the Public Protector's Office is also in breach of compliance of Section 32 of PIA in terms of their SA Human Rights Commission, their 2018-19 Promotion of Access to Information Act annual report. So I would urge the Public Protector to look into that to make sure. And if it's not correct, then you can also assist us in that regard. Chairperson Large, the last aspect is an issue which we have discussed, and that is the findings of court judgments. But maybe since your last appearance, Public Protector, the issue that's been much in the domain, public domain, is the decision in President of the Republic of South Africa versus the Public Protector, and that is the Gauteng High Court decision on the 8th of August. The findings of the court included, which are damning findings in our view, and it's up to you to what degree you would like to respond to this, given that there could be ongoing litigation in this regard. There is no consistency in the manner of approach and conduct of the Public Protector. The court said it is mind-boggling, basically, why in this matter the Public Protector did not even consent to, at least if she does not want to consent to, the declaratory order to have the remedial action stayed pending finalization of the review application. And lastly, I repeat, it is mind-boggling why the Public Protector is not acceding to what she in the first place suggested. So that adds to the number of court decisions, and I would ask if you would so wish to, Public Protector, to comment on these. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Board Tracher.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to thank the Public Protector as well as the staff for the presentation. I would also like to add to what my colleagues have said. Congratulations on your appointment as President of IOMA. Congratulations. And then also joining my colleagues in thanking the Deputy Public Protector for his service all these years within the Public Protector's Office. So we wish you all the best for your future endeavors. Relating to the presentation, awareness plus outreach and the road shows, I would like to ask the Public Protector if the people that you reach, does that also include people with disabilities? And if you present, do you also give awareness to people with disabilities? Because I'm not aware of anything, but if you can maybe tell us if you do reach people with disabilities as well during your outreach. Then slide 25. I know my colleagues mentioned it, but I would just like to revise my question. You signed MOU with three provincial secretariats. I just want to ask why. What happened to the other six provinces? Why not with them? And then slide 42. In slide 42, you say at the top, money recovered can be slash was. So in other words, it wasn't fully recovered. So I would like to know what wasn't recovered. And then in the annual report book on page 103, page 103, under staff with disabilities, I see the targets in terms of male is 5 and the target for female only 1. No gender balance there, as well as the target was not achieved. So I just would like to know why. And then also in the book, page 105, I see all the provinces here for provincial representatives of the Public Protector's Office, but there's no Western Cape representative, and I'm asking that because I live here, so I'm just curious why the provincial representative of the Western Cape is not in the book. That is my question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Newbold. Advocate Mulaose.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. And let me also congratulate the Public Protector for unqualified audit report. This shows that the institution is in good hands, and as such, we regard you as fit and proper person to hold the office of the Public Protector. And that's why the whole continent, the whole African continent, have confidence of you, and they elected you as a president. You are very fit. Maybe the only sin you committed is to touch the untouchable. So yeah. Let me start by the asking out of your annual report about the employment equity. You that we saw the African males during the financial year under review. You have to, you employed about 17 African males on the senior post out of 15 which you were targeted. It means you exceed by two. But when you come into the female African, you only appointed 7 out of 9. You didn't even reach the 9. So can maybe you explain why there is a not balancing, because as we know that we are trying to balance the government institutions in terms of gender. The DPSA is busy finalizing to review the public protector's organizational structure. Maybe you can update us about that, or if there is any potential impact or negative or positive impact on delaying to review that structure by the DPSA. In terms of the backlog, during the year under review, 169 outstanding cases were reported. Some of them, they are 2 years old. So maybe if you can clear us how many who are more than 2 years older, and how many backlog cases in the institution currently left with. And maybe does the institution set a turnaround time frame for investigations or not? And also the complainant, in terms of what will be the principal, are they kept informed about such delays? And is there any consequences management for the delay in finalizing such cases if it's about the laziness within the institution? The DPP, we can appreciate if you can also clear us on the matter you reported about the reinstatement of a quality control mechanism. And you must also clear us how they differ from what is in place currently. The underspending under finance, you underspend during the year under review on critical core programs. Investigation program, you only meet the performance target 50%, and as such you underspend by 876,000 rand. And when coming to the K performance target, which you on the administrative programs, you only manage to achieve 75%, and as such you underspend by 3.4 million rands. So can we be explained why these critical programs were compromised? Internal audit. You said in the last time report that you are on the process of establishing the internal audit unit, which is currently outsourced. And can you also give us the information how far we're completing the process of establishing so that we can insource instead of outsourcing this unit? And you committed yourself to reduce the audit findings by 50% during the year under review, but only 11% reduction. Can you tell us why the reason you didn't achieve, and what are the steps to remedy the situation during this current year, 2020 year? You also report about the need to request the additional budget for specialized expert professionals, such as forensic specialists in construction and also ICT specialists. So is it not possible for the institution to partner with IU, because they have forensic, internal forensic specialists, or to engage with professional bodies for their retired members to assist the institution in the meantime when we don't have additional funds. So that we mustn't see the delays because you don't have specialists, the case has been delayed. Can't you talk to your sister institution, the SIU, if they have specialists so that they can assist to push the issues forward? Lastly, Chairperson, you also requested the additional budget from Treasury about the funding of critical post in case management system, professional fees, and security. And we just want to know that budget you requested additional from the Treasury. What is the response, or what was the response of the Treasury in this request? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, I have received two additional requests for members to speak. I think it will be good if we give them time now so that we don't have to come back. The Office of the Public Protector will have to just respond to one batch of questions. I have received additional request time to speak from Mamu Kaula and Honorable Janje. I will note them, I will give them the opportunity at the end. I had already noted hands. But we want the Office of the Public Protector to respond once, and we don't have to do the second time. Honorable President of ETF.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Office of the Public Protector is a very important institution in our constitutional democracy, because particularly it represents the poor, the voiceless, and the most marginalized people in the country, particularly when they are undone by government and its institutions. These are the people who do not have well-funded imperial NGOs to fight for them. Now, I think it is a reality that there are two kinds of South Africa. There's the South Africa for the rich, and there's the South Africa for the poor. And all those who fight for the poor will also be fought by the rich. Now, if your work is on the side of the poor, the system of capitalism will try and destroy you.
Yes.
So our words as the ATM, even before we get to the questions, it is to say to you that you must remain loyal to the people of South Africa, because they need you to be strong, principled, as well as fearless. I also want to commend you for the following: the 22% improvement in achieving your performance targets after the office has increased the targets, making the Office of the Public Protector to be more accessible to ordinary citizens, and educating citizens on the role of the office and its accessibility, and the countless cases of ordinary citizens that have been finalized, and the positive impact it's making in people's lives, as well as the recovery of plus minus 260 million to the state as a result of your investigations. And lastly, I want to congratulate you on your election as the president of AOMA. This shows that the African continent appreciates your competence and capacity. Now, if the people of Africa do not see any incompetence or incapacity, iParliament ngubani yona to see otherwise. Now, I've got a few questions. The first one is, you mentioned there are about 40 organs of state that have ignored or partly implemented the remedial actions, thus rendering your office to be toothless, and most importantly, waste the scarce resources that go into the office. How can the committee intervene in this matter? The second question is, you release your report sometimes via YouTube instead of a normal press briefing. Why is this so? The third one is, we've seen various attacks on you by, you could say, the politically connected or the elite in the country. What has been the impact of these attacks to the staff morale in your office? Number four is, what is the percentage of reports that were successfully reviewed versus the total number of uncontested reports. Number five, you mentioned that you need Parliament to assist regarding your work in AOMA. How can the committee as well as Parliament assist with you, assist in that regard? Then the Deputy Public Protector mentioned the trust deficit between the executive and the public. Do the attacks by the members of the executive on the Public Protector worsen the trust deficit? And also, how can Parliament assist in this regard? Again, the DPP mentioned the absence of consequence as the rich, powerful, and well-connected abuse their resources and connections to the detriment of accountability and the Office of the Public Protector. How can the office be strengthened to ensure that all are treated equal before the law? I thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Glenis Breitenbach. I know that members have their list, but I don't have my list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been largely covered by all of my colleagues, but I would like to ask your staff complement has increased exponentially since beginnings of this office, and so has your budget. Yet you are finalizing fewer and fewer cases. You've managed only 9,921 cases in this financial year, and your target at the next financial year is 7,000. Why is this figure decreasing, and why is your target so low? Let me also thank the Deputy Public Protector for the work that he has done. He's been with the office for 7 years now. His contribution is a significant contribution, and I'm sure that all the members will join me in acknowledging his contribution. He has stated publicly that he has concerns about quality control, and I look forward to hearing the inputs in that regard, but he has also stated publicly that in some of the in most of the high profile matters, particularly those of the political angle, he has been completely ignored, has had no input into the reports or how they were compiled or conducted. Why would this be? If you have somebody in your office with the qualifications and experience in the office that your deputy has, why wouldn't one make use of this? It doesn't make sense to me or I fail to understand why one wouldn't want to use all the available expertise in an office. So I just like to understand that. I'd also like to, if you could just update us on the amount, the cost that you spend on labour-related matters. What is the ballpark figure there? And I understand that there's one instance that's one singular instance that the costs were over 700,000. If that is so, could you just please update the committee on what that matter was about and why such a high cost? And then, in terms of the Public Protector Act, you are required to exercise control over the investigations and the reports. So, of course, you sign the reports, and you've already stated in the media that you, of course, don't investigate the reports, and no one would expect you to do so. Your court papers, however, suggest that you're trying to shift the blame for errors onto investigators, which, of course, is an untenable situation. And this appears to be so that you can try and avoid a personal cost order. Could you just spend a little bit of time on this issue for me, please? I find it somewhat concerning that the blame appears to be shifted onto investigators when you sign off on the reports. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings, Susie and the team. Chair, allow me to extend special greetings to the self-appointed political security guards of the Public Procurator's Office. They are doing a sterling job. The office is suffering from, in terms of the report, the office is suffering from security detail. We may as well just use their services. They are doing a very good job, those self-appointed. Chair, let me join my colleagues to say farewell, DPP. The patriotic work you have done will never go unnoticed. You have served the people of South Africa very well, and I'm sure they have noticed. We wish you all the best in your future endeavors. Chair, in the remarks or in the introduction of the report, it is said that the sitting public protector has served at least 3 years of the term now, which I think is a good thing, but I think it must be used as a barometer to measure the strengths and the shortcomings of the office to ensure that for the remaining years in the term, they are able to recover from what has been problems within the office. Chair, in the year under review, there are a number of cases that have been completed by the office, which some of them were taken to court reviews, which is correct in the legal framework of South Africa. But I want to check, Chair, with regard to the entirety of the cases conducted by the office with the remedial actions, how many cases whose remedial actions were actually enforceable? So, Chair, we don't just do remedial actions whilst they make no effect in terms of what we are supposed to be doing as the office. Part of what I've noted, Chair, in the report is a number of targets being exceeded, a number of them without getting into details, being a target exceeded. I just want to check, Chair, that what are underlying factors at which that convinces them to set a target. I'm saying this, Chair, because if you are able to exceed, it means you are capable to do and set something beyond what you have set, so that you avoid setting lower targets, so that you make compliant systems so favorable to you. There's an issue, Chair, that I think is very important, that if it is not taken into consideration, it may defeat the purpose of the office itself. The issue of the security shortfalls, which render the staff and the property of the Office of the Public Protector under threat and under attack. I want to check with them, have they, in terms of this particular feature, have they been able to be in talks with the National Treasury? If the answer is in the affirmative, what has been the response from the National Treasury? Chair, on the issue of the budget, in the report, it is said that despite the cost containment measures the office has done, there is still a huge gap in the funding allocation, which actually hinders the actual work of the office. I want to check, Chair, even into that regard, how have the cases taken to review affected this, that which is said here? I hope you get the question. That there are a number of cases, there is a gap in the funding allocation which hinders the work of the public protector. Now, there are a number of cases in the year under review which have been taken to judicial reviews. How have those cases affected this, that which they say already hinders the work of the public protector? There is an issue, Chair, which was founded by the Auditor General, which a number of honorable members have touched on, the issue of non-payment of service providers within the legal time of 30 days. Questions have been asked with regard to that, but I have a different question. Because it says, the reason for non-payment within the 30 days is a lack of monitoring and reporting. Now, my question would be, what has been done to those who have been found to have lacked to monitor and to have lacked to report onto this particular matter? Chair, the issue of new cases received, which amount to 8,717, with a number of 4,006 being handed over to financial year 2019-2020. When you check, Chair, 8,717 and 4,006, that is almost 50%. What are the actual reasons for this handover to another financial year, and will this handover not hinder the new cases they are going to receive in the new financial year, which is 2019-2020? There's an issue, Chair, of the Tswane smart meter box, something, which they have been conducting an investigation on. There's an issue as well, Chair, with regard to the Inqubaya Themba municipality in the Eastern Cape, which they have concluded they are conducting. There is another issue regarding Tswane municipality, which has been all over the country, which has attracted public attention, where the matter regarding the issue of the tender on fleet and other things. Have they been able to follow up on that matter the same way they are following up on the issue of smart meters and other issues? Chair, allow me to go on the very important feature or character of the office, which is accessibility. Can the office authorities confidently say the office is absolutely accessible to the public? I'm asking this, Chair, because at a certain stage we have received a letter complaining about the responsiveness of the office itself, which the complaint was actually about the issue of management in the ESCOM, blah, 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 which the details can be provided later on. But the actual complaint about the issue was the numerous attempts to get attention from the Office of the Public Protector, which I think borders directly into the issue of the office being accessible. I think, Chair, let me end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mamukaula.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Ngimbongele umhlonishwa wami lapha umvikeli womphakathi. Engizokusho nje ngaphambi ukuthi ngene odabeni ukuthi siyabongela thina ngokwethu, sikubona lesihlalo okusona usenza kahle kusona, and njengabantu besifazane nami ngiphinde ngihlale ekomiti labantu besifazane, angaboni okuningi engathi lokhu kuyakuhlula ngaphandle kwabantu abafuna bona ukufeza iy'nhloso zabo ngenxa mhlawumbe yokubheka ibala lakho ukuthi unjani. Lokho kusikhombisa la eSouth Africa ukuthi kusafunakala ngempela sazi dasikakakhululeki, kusafuna kusetshenzwe. Ma kubonakala ukuthi nangumuntu ozokwazi ukulwela abantu bakithi abamnyama, kwenziwa ngayo yonke indlela ukuthi abonakale ecriticizwa. Okokuqala nje ngizokusho, mina ngiyabonga leli thuba lokuthi namhlanje ngizobhekana nawe ngoba ngamanye amazwi kanseyi ukuthi lo muntu uyafaila. Wena njengokuthi uyafaila yini oyenzile to make sure as a member of parliament ukuthi izinto zenza kahle nakuphela ukuzolungisa ukuthi funa kaphume? No, into engeke yenzeke leyo sisekhona. Ngizocela futhi kuleli komiti abantu besifazane benze sure ukuthi siyakwazi ukulekelela nokumela ukuthi simlekelele umvikelo womphakathi ngoba lezinto vele abantu abahluphekile la eSouth Africa basasele muva ithina. Yabona nje mina manje ngiyakunikeza ngiyakuphathisa okunye senginethemba ukuthi uma ngikunika khona kuzokwenzeka ngoba even thina senza le nto kuthiwa i-arms fault. Ayikho into ezokwenzeka. Into ngizokhuluma nje ngade ngibhala la njengoba bukadusho. Okokuqala nje ngiyajabula uma ubheka ngalento zako-housing izindlu, home and settlement. Kunenkinga enkulu laphayana othola ukuthi kunezindlu ezakhiwayo. Lezi zindlu uthola ukuthi akapheli even 5 years. Lezo zindlu lezo seyibhidlikile mhlawumbe kufika iy'khukhula ziyahamba nabantu. Lakhe ward 43 eNtuzuma. Kunezindlu nje kuyimanje engahamba nawe ngikukhombisa. Nabantu okufanele ngabe bangenile endlini zabo ungangenanga bona kwangena abanye. Mina izinto lezi engifuna ngoba ngiyayiqhenya ngawe njobula. Bese kuba nalolu daba mhlambe nike nalibona before laka forensic. Health forensic. Lapha eThekwini last nenkinga khona ukuhlalahlala kube ne-bedrock thola ukuthi abantu abakwazi ukufihla abantu. Ngenxa yey'nkinga ukuthi iy'nsiza azikho. La usathola khona ukuthi abantu bakithi abamnyama ingakho ngithi ngicela laba bangakhulumi kakhulu. Thina abantu abamnyama sisahlupheka kakhulu. Kuyimanje laphayana uma uyobheka khona emhlonishi uzobona kuyanuka. Abantu laba abasebenzayo abatholi amalungelo abo. Ngibonga uNkulunkulu ukusebenzisana nawe ukuthi mhlaka 26 last month ngikwazile ukuya khona bengifonela. Ngakwazi ukukhululukulwa nenkinga yakhona 27 zakwazi ukuphuma idumbu zayofihla kodwa ngiyacela niye nobheka kunenkinga enkulu laphayana ka-health forensic ziningi into ezifuna ukulungiswa khona la uveze khona le yama-road show yesi mhlaba mkhulu and ngisaphinda if thina singasho ukuthi no inkinga ilapha sisafuna nalapha sikulekelele. So losikhomba wena kanti nathi ingabhisele nathi. Bengifuna ukwazi ukuthi nike nibe nalo yini uhlelo lokuya emakhaya la kubizwa khona kuthiwa ama-rural area. Lana abantu bakhona othola ukuthi lezi zinto esixoxwa ngazo zinabazazi, even ama-rights abo abawazi. Kunabantu la othola ukuthi baney'nkinga, othola ukuthi mhlawumbe ingane yakhe ireshwe umakhelwane. Amacala uthole ukuthi aphelele obala ungazi uzukwenzenjani abazi khona lo muntu owumvikela omphakathi. Kukhona kokunye-ke engizicelayo ohamba nihlale phansi kuleli ofisi nibheke. Kune-crisis enkulu eyaloyikhala eThekwini Durban kwamasipala wakhona. I-reporti kaManasi asikaze sizwelutho ngayo and nale nto engizofuna ukuyibuza ukuthi kwenziwa yini ukuthi umuntu adle izimali zabakhokhi bentela ngoba mhlambe unesikhundla esikhulu kunoma aboshwe lo muntu uyathathwa uyambona sebemthathile sebemfaka kwenye indawo. Why singaboni ukuthi okay sebemsusile sebanjiwe kodwa nangu uyaboshwa kuphi lana nobuya khona back sizotshela ukuthi nangu ushajiwe ngoba sigcina sazi ukuthi usibani bani unamacala uboshiwe. Ngibuya ngiza la e-Western Cape. Hayi mina ngiyayithanda i-organization yamshem. Ngoba iyakudeploy ifuna ukwazi ukuthi udla imali icala, udla imali yabakhokhi bentela. Kuhlungu uma usadeploy. Kodwa uma usufikile uyababonga ukuthi inkosi yami ngiyambonga uNkulunkulu wabengazi ukuthi kanti kunabantu abahlupheka nje eminyango. La e-Western Cape kunenkinga. Lana ngo-1994. Zonke lezi zindlu ezazindala zabuye ugovernment wayithatha lezo zindlu wayibuyisela kubantu wayikhokhela wabanika zona ngoba babevele kade beyirentela ngesikhathi sobandlululo ngamanye wafana ukuthi basebe-rentela into eyivele kade iphelile kodwa la i-Western Cape akwenzeki ngithuka isimanga mna ngisedeployo e-Worcester kunamafleti amadala ahlala abantu angasenama akalungiswa kwenziwa lutho kunento embi la e-Western Cape emvikelwe umphakathi njengoba bekulisa nje bakulisa zozubabona amahlazo namhlanje basebhadini ke la la i-Western Cape makushone umzali akwamhlambe bekweleta amanzi or ugesi noma intoni abayikhulumi indaba yokuthi okay hambani niye kamaster nifike nithole le ncwadi ebizwa ukuthi letter of authority then bese ungena kulomuzi bavele bathi wena khokha lesikweletu sonke salo muntu oshonile feyili lapho uyakhishwa nginelisti yabo into engikhuluma ngazo ngebhadi ngiyengafuni ukukhuluma indaba kayiyese ngoba ngiyaya kubantu njengoba ngithi ngiyayibonga i-organization yami ekwazi ukuthi uye kubantu okunye yile nto ke sithandwa sami la eSouth Africa sisenenkinga sicela nisebenze bada kuthi nimlekelele umvikeli ningahlali nje kuma condition sinenkinga yokuthi if makushona umuntu omnyama la eSouth Africa while sithi sikhululekile kulokuthiwa kuyaphela akukho la kuthiwa khona sebanjiwe lakho khona umfana okuthi uxolana kwamtambo wadutshilwe lekha bafika bashutha benza yonke into even now same lakho lolu daba likameyiwe ezinye izinto engazi kahle ukuthi bazokusebenzisa kabuhlungu ngoba thina sikhona lana kufanele ngabe thina la asikwazi thina ukukuvikela thina sikuvikele ngoba sithanda wena siqu sakho sikuvikela thina ngoba into esithanda kwena sithanda ukuthi lama qualification unawo angithi ngesikhathi ungena bawabonile why manje sebengasaboni yingoba nakho bebona ukuthi ulwela abantu bakithi abamnyama enye into ebuhlungu-ke yilena-ke ngiyabuyela nami kule abakhubazekile ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi ngempela ngoba ngesikhathi sakudala mhlawumbe sinizokhumbula lapha kumbilo besibabona abantu abakhubazekile umthotho abone emehlweni kodwa uma uthi ubheke imisebenzi ayenzayo bubabone ukuthi bakwazi ukuthi nithini uma ngabe nikhuluma ngokuqashwa ngabe niyakwazi nabo ukubabhekela loba kukhona laba abafundileyo abangafuni ukudiphendela esibonelelweni bese nizokubonga into oyenze eLimpopo ngiyabuka la ephepheni sifuna abantu abanjengaweka abazofuthi abantu uma bengene e-ofisini bekala baphuma abantu benjani behleka nami ngithrenwa njalo mina ukuthi umuntu akangene ofisini lakho enjani ekhala aphume ehleka yingakho sithi sisazokulwela and siyimisele ukukulwela ube la laba asebeyimisele ukuthi uzophuma never okokugcina-ke mhlambe uyakhumbula khona lento engiye ngicule ngayo ephalamende abanye babethatha kanti ngiyahlanya cha angihlanyi nalento ukuthi thina beyasasikustruggle kunento sasisho ukuthi uma ngabe sesikhululekile abantu bakithi bawuba nani nani kunalento le ebizwa ngokuthi olindela mhlonishwa ngiyazi ukuthi njengoba ngiyifaka kwena ngiyifaka emotini ehambayo ethekwini sinenkinga yento ebizwa ngokuthi olindela ngokomthetho ulindela akufune kuphele 6 months abantu bebekelwa suka besusiwe kuloo ndawo kusathiwa kuzokwakhiwa bese bethatha bayofaka what 75 lamonti ma ngathi ngiyakuthatha ngiyokukhombisa ungafika ukhala u-one room la bantu sebeqeda o-10 years shona esiphilo shona ebhambayi ko-57 uzobona into ongayazi yilezi nto-ke endithi mina ngiyacela lo mnyango uze kwenze sure ukuthi niyazisukumela ziyenzekwa ngoba nina inhloso yenu ukuvikela abantu umphakathi nala bantu asebehlale kakhulu ababulawa zinyo kanibonile de kuneyikhukhula kunabantu laba babemuviwe bafakwe etendeni ngithuka isimanga namanje labantu basekhona lilonto nkeke ngiyaqeda lapho sengiyabonga sithi thina sizokulwela nje kuze kube yileyo nkathi ma ngabe beufanele uhlale 10 years e-ofisini lakho uzowuhlala kodwa kuphela laba abanenkinga sizocela nkosame bebuyela kodwa ungitshela ngithi abantu besifazane ngabe uyabona umthaba thuthukizwe konke lokho ngofisi yacela ukubabona abantu besifazane la njengoba sikhuluma nginawe nje sibabona ukuthi niyabalela kulomnyango wenu uthi bayayithola imisebenzi bayasebenza ngiyabonga.
I think some of them are new cases that needs to be investigated. Thank you very much, Honorable Johnson.
Sir, before that, Chairperson. Chair, I think it will be important for you to, from time to time, remind us as honorable members the purpose of this meeting, which is to table the annual report so that we avoid dragging a whole number of things that have nothing to do with this meeting. We meet with the office from now, from timelessly. Some of the issues, we know how to deal with them. So I'm saying, Chair, we must, from time to time, remind us the purpose of this meeting. Thank you very much.
I think members have noted that.
Thank you very much, Chair. I am reminded. Thank you for that, Honorable Ngola. I'm reminded because I was sitting here thinking CP, because the public procurator is here to account for a specific report, so that when we leave here, she would have answered all of those things that are under review. Because once you go all over the place, she might not have prepared to answer those kind of issues. So I stand directed, and I'm going to follow that. I want to first, Chair, just start with my normal start, just the cosmetics. I will start with the cosmetics. I want to appreciate the public protector that in an environment where you've got financial constraints, I am very happy that you have produced a report like this, and this is what I'm going to be speaking on. Your annual report is bound. It's not a glossy, expensive report because you don't have money. So, but that's a reflection. So I cannot note this. As I said, just on the cosmetics, I want to start there. So I want to appreciate that. Because I've seen reports from the department that are complaining about money, but their report is like there's gold in the cover. So the first point I want to raise, Chair, is the year at a glance, exactly what is on the slide. And here I want to invite the public protector to just clarify, there's one or two discrepancies that one is picking up. So you see, when the public protector was here on the 10th of July, and we asked quite a lot of things, and she promised to give us back some of those which the office did. And in what she forwarded to us as Parliament, the one-pager slide says the cases that were carried over from 2017 to 2018, from the report you submitted to us, you said, and here is this slide that you forwarded to us, it's 4,521. That's a carried over cases from 2017-2018. But in what you have presented here, you are saying the carried over of the same year is now standing at 4,390. Now, I want to understand the discrepancy. I'm starting there immediately. Which one must I follow? That's my first point. The second point, Chair, I want to invite the public protector to the annual report itself. I'm not staying in the presentation because at the end of September, you produced a report sent to Parliament, and we read that, and I'm asking questions from that. The reason why I want to take you there, because in slide 42, if you can go to your slide 42. In slide 42, slide 42 speaks about the reports. The reports of the public protector for the 2018-2019 financial year. In that slide,
report number 5 in your slide speaks about a Mukhale community. In the annual report, report number 5 is a report on former Premier Helen Zille. Okay? Please go to your report. Report number 5 in the annual report is from start to finish, is about the Premier of the Western Cape. So I couldn't connect the two. Report number 5 in the presentation and report number 5 in the annual report. It's kind of two different things, because I've read the annual report. In fact, the report of the Premier of the Western Cape is done twice in your annual report, as report number 5 as well as report number 31. It's repeated, which takes me to the question whether before this report, I'm going to other discrepancies in the same report. The question I would like to ask is, have you really seen this report before it was printed? Did you do the final editing of this report? Because I'm going to be taking you through these reports in cases where there are things that should not have been printed, should not have been brought to Parliament. And let me proceed in that way. For example, the report number 20 that you have here, which speaks about the allegations in terms of the pick it up. In the annual report, it is a very confusing check, because it starts with pick it up, and then immediately as you read about Malusi Gigaba. Take you there. Because that report number 20, starts with pick it up, and then in the summary of the complaint, as well as the findings, it is not speaking about pick it up. It is about Malusi Gigaba, and the issue is really about when he was Minister of Home Affairs. I'm just raising this, so do you help me? Because I followed your report, and it seems that you have repeated that even as you came to present. There's been a gap there. So help me understand that. Because I'm likely to make a conclusion that you have got a lot of cut and paste in your report. And I'll show you the next example. For example, there's a report on the deputy speaker of Limpopo, Masuha. That's report number 6 in your annual report. But in its findings, it's not speaking about the deputy speaker. The findings are speaking about a minister and somebody else. So I really, and as I was reading it, report by report, there are almost close to 50 reports where you've got lots of these discrepancies. It's just not possible that a report of this nature, with the amount of time that you have, could not have been edited, could not have been proofread, even as you go to printing. Let me take you to, because basically what you also need to help me understand, at what point is your report, Public Protector, finalized and closed? Is it after issuing, or when there's action taken or the remedial action? Because in the report you have submitted here, it's not helping. I think you might help that office to add a last column on the status. Because we don't know what, this is a report, we don't know.
Honorable Judge, if yes. You can just assist me. Report number 5, it's 2018 of 2019. And then here, report number 5 of 2017.
Come again?
It's different report. It's report number 5 of 2018-2019.
Okay.
Report number 5 of 2017-2018.
So you're saying the years are mixed there?
I think because I think it would be important if we can just clarify it before she moves on.
Okay.
Yes.
This slide, the intention was just to show how much
the impacts of our report financially, we are contributing back to the community. And these reports are mixed years. There's a report 5 of 2017-18.
Okay.
It's not the same as Zile's one. Zile's one is report 5 of 2018-19.
Okay.
So it's two totally different years. What we normally do, we allocate numbers per financial year. So this report is for that financial year. And as well, if you mentioned the report number 6, I don't know where you are reading that we are referring to the department, because page 33 of the annual report is very clear. We are reporting 6, number 20 of 18-19. We speak about the deputy speaker, what is the complaint, and what is the summary of findings and the remedial action. So I don't know, do we speak about the department on which page?
I'm on this report.
Yes.
Your annual report.
Yes.
Are we on the same report?
Yes.
Okay.
Page 33. And the next one is, that's why I was saying we are noting, Chairperson, we will clarify what Honorable
Yeah, it's page 33 even here, the one on the Deputy Speaker.
Yes, the report on and
the discrepancy is there in my report.
Which site, Honorable Janji?
That's report number 6.
Maybe what we need to do, I think we are still of the view that there's a discrepancy.
Yeah.
I think that's what we wanted to start.
Okay, okay.
I think at the end
so she can clarify when she
yes,
responds,
yes,
all of that.
Yes.
Okay.
So but we have a study that you still obviously have the discrepancy,
yeah.
Yes.
Which
okay.
Must answer. Okay, thank you.
I was also offering that the report as it is not helpful, because after you read this report, you don't know what is the status of this report. And that it would help in future to have a status column. Because you've done your work, that status might say that it's taken on review. This is what is happening to the report. As it stands, it's not helpful. We don't know what's happening with the report that you've done. Chair, so I've also raised the disturbance of the models, and I think she will respond to that. Then there's also perhaps as a point of appreciation on this one, the question is on the suggestions you've made on the human settlements. This is now report 43 in your annual report. Report 43 in your annual report. You've made quite significant proposals, and my question is whether because these can enrich the work of that department, has that report of yours been shared with the Human Settlements Department? And what is the feedback on that, on the issues that you've raised under that report? And just a last point on the report section, which is a general point. Has a matter brought before the public protector been reported to any other authority? Is the office able to retrieve that? When you deal with something, are you able to know that it was reported there and nothing was done? Let me leave the report. I've highlighted the issues that I thought are kind of discrepancies, Chair. I want to just go quickly to the finances. Maybe before I go to the finances, in your 2017-2018 report, you highlighted the top 7 offenders, public protector, and those top 7 offenders start with home affairs and they end with health. And my quick question there is, in your 2018-2019, is the trend continuing to be the same, or is there a change of that? So that one understand whether there's improvement and whether people are listening to the kind of work that you're doing. On the finances, when the public protector was here on the 10th of July, she informed us that she was going to engage with Treasury on the issues of finances. She subsequently did that, and we then received both what we needed from her as well as what she presented to National Treasury. And I want to quickly get into that point now. In the letter, CEO, and the public letter that you sent to the committee on the issue of the 10 million legal fees, you make the point because we wanted a breakdown of that 10 million of the legal fees. You make the point that you're not able to provide accurate figures in terms of that 10 million. We've just set aside 10 million. That's what you respond to us as Parliament. And yet, to the National Treasury, when you make a presentation, you then say there's a 10 million needed because you had planned for 4 million. There's an extra 6 million needed, which has been caused due to contractual obligations. Now, my understanding of contractual obligation is that it's a specific thing. You can't just get to a figure of 6 million when you don't understand, because the issue here is simple. If you have to pay a senior counsel, and the issue is you would estimate know how much that will cost and the number of those senior counsel. So for you not to be able to help quantify that to us, and yet in the presentation to Treasury, there's a kind of a different thing said altogether. Also, I'm not concluding. Why must you conclude? Just listen.
Honorable members, there's only one chairperson.
Just listen. You are a visitor, Ms. So, okay, sir. Let me leave you. In the presentation you brought to us on the 10th of July, under the finances that you needed, you also had an item, Chair. The public already had an item called gratuity for the Deputy Public Protector. And the cost of that was about 5 million. That's what she presented to us. In the document you present to Treasury, the National Treasury, so the item on the gratuity where you're supposed to ask for money, that item is not there. Now, I'm curious, is there a change of mind about this, for removing this item now, which was brought to the committee, because you've asked the committee to look into how they can get that, just so that it can help us with that. Okay, let me pause there, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Gadi, you will be the last one.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Ms. Breitenbach asked a question that should be answered by the public protector, and unfortunately she has left, but I think as an advocate, she should know better that question is unfair and sub judice. She preambles her question by saying that in terms of the content of your court papers, there is this shift of blame to investigators. I mean, knowing that it is the content of court papers, as an advocate, you should know better that it was not going to be a question that must be answered as a matter of sub judice. And I will advise that the chairperson assist the public protector in that question, that it should not be answered, because correctly so the advocate says it's a matter of court papers. I have heard from the validity comment or speech of the deputy public protector, and referred to also by Mrs. Breitenbach, that the public protector is a crying foul that is not involved in high-profile cases. And on two occasions, for the two public protectors, the previous and the current, I've had the opportunity to see some television interviews of the deputy public protector, like Pontius Pilate, washing his hands when they hit in the kitchen. What I want to know is, did the deputy public protector have a security clearance from the state security agency such that he had to be involved in high-profile cases? And why even the previous and the current public protector it doesn't appear that he has been happy in the serving with these two public protectors. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I know that the team is quite capable of knowing which questions can be answered and which one would not be answered. What we will do now, as we have done with all other people who have come before us, we will give them a 5 minutes break so that they can be able to amongst themselves to who is going to answer what. And then for us it serves as a comfort break. When we come back, then we will get responses from the team of the public protector.
I know.